So I think that the question arises, how do you cherish our others? How do you attend to the real needs of others? And how do you see the humanity behind what often is inhuman behaviour? And I think the key is in understanding your own humanity and in recognising your own needs, the way in which you yourself are seeking your own benefit, your own fulfilment, even in your own unskillful action, even in your the actions that you perform that even harm you. You are, each of us is out for ourselves, as it were, and we want the best for ourselves, even if we're not clear about what that is. So I think that the way to cherish others is to see and understand your own self-cherishing, and on that basis to identify with others. This is what the practice seems to consist in, the bodhicitta practice. You start off by reflecting on your affinity with all beings, your interconnectedness with all beings, especially through recognizing them as having been in beginningless time, since beginningless time, innumerable times, your mother or father. Of course, this you can only really think like this if you've got a belief in the idea of rebirth. I don't personally find that very easy to think like that, but some people do. If you can reflect in that way, that you have been born again and again and again, that if you've been reborn since beginningless time, well, then there will have been an infinite number of combinations of parents that you'll have been subjected to or have subjected to you. So you'll have had that sort of relationship with ultimately every being. That's what the traditional reflection is. I have to say, this moves me not one inch or centimetre. I don't find this really works for me. I don't think I have sufficient effective conviction in rebirth for that to be something that goes for me. But if it does, you're doing well. You've got something to work with. But what you need to try to do is find ways of recognizing your interconnectedness with others and your gratitude to them. So that, for instance, you can reflect that any happiness, any benefit that you experience is ultimately rests upon the endeavours of everybody. Everything's so much interconnected that any pleasurable situation that you find yourself in rests upon the cooperation of ultimately the entire universe, you could say. Through the chains of conditions and the way in which those are all linked up. You know, you have a good meal. What do we have tonight, John? Meat and two veg, wasn't it? It was a pie and... Yeah, well, there you are, a manufactured pie, brilliantly cooked by John. So, you know, that had a number of ingredients. Those ingredients had been, you know, gathered together by transport, put in a shop. A number of people had put those, brought those goods. They put them on the shelves and paid for at the till, and you know, so on. I don't need to multiply the analysis. So that in the end, everybody you can see cooperates in any experience of happiness that you have. This is the kind of reflection that one's enjoined to have. If all that doesn't work, if you can't sort of get a sense of other people as being in some way cooperative towards your own benefit, you try more to recognise your affinity with them, your identity with them, in understanding that they, like you, want to be happy, don't want to suffer, that all the time they're striving for their own fulfilment in the way in which they understand it, just as you are. So you try in one way or another to sort of get across the boundaries, the barriers that divide you from others, and to sense that your affinity with them and to thereby sort of extend to them the feelings that you have for yourself. So this is what this first verse is trying to enjoin upon us, a constant effort to cross the boundaries that divide us from others, to extend our own feelings for ourselves to others, to understand that others are motivated by a desire for happiness and fulfillment just as we are, and thereby to begin to cherish them in the way that we cherish ourselves, to have for them the kinds of feelings that we have for ourselves. So if you want to follow this practice, if you want to follow this set of view, practice, action, well, you can consistently, constantly, moment by moment, day by day, in your interaction with people, be trying to exercise this kind of mindfulness, this sort of attempt, trying to cherish others, to aspire to help them to achieve what is their real highest interest. And if that's not coming very naturally and easily, getting more in contact with your own feelings, your own aspirations for yourself, recognizing that others share that with you and are inside themselves, so to speak, not really any different from you, and thereby trying to cross that barrier. So this is the first reflection, if you like, that's not merely a reflection, but a basis for daily action and practice. As I said yesterday, it's an extension, really, of the metta bhavana, but at a much more particular level.